1 Kings chapter 18. This is the answer to so much, to what we need to see in Myanmar, in India, in New York City. This is a matter of prayer that God would do something miraculous. This is a revival prayer in 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's look just briefly at verse 36 and 37, then we'll pray. Verse 36, 1 Kings 18 says, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Just look at the next phrase of verse 38. "Then the fire of the Lord fell." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would put in our hearts the answer and our part on certainly in participating in what's going on in these foreign countries, but not only that, in our own country, in this city right here. Lord, would you do your work and fill me with your Spirit, guide and direct in this message, I pray. All this in Christ's name, amen. For 3.5 years, there was no rain. Why? Because God directed Elijah to pray that the heavens would be stopped. This was in direct correlation and direct connection with the disobedience and the idolatry of Israel. Under Ahab, the wicked king, no one's like him, and his lovely wife Jezebel, there was a tremendous turning away in idolatry and rebellion. As a result, there's now 3.5 years without rain. What happens when you don't have rain? There's a drought. What doesn't grow? Crops. You don't have food. Now you have a famine. You can't feed your cattle with the grass and such. During this time, Ahab is sending out different ones like Obadiah, who did fear the Lord and who had some of his prophets. And he's trying to find grass for the cattle. And all of these things are going on. When Elijah comes back on the scene, this is interesting. Ahab looks at him. And in verse 17, it says, "Ahab saw Elijah and said, Art thou the one that troublest Israel?" He's talking to the preacher. You're the one that's causing all this trouble. You know what? The preacher's not causing all the trouble. It's their sin and their wickedness. Why are people in the state, and why are we in the state that we're in? It's because of sin and a wickedness. It's not a preacher that's telling you the truth. And so Elijah says, "I'm not the one that's troubling Israel, but you are." And so he tells them to gather together up on Mount Carmel, and we're going to find out who is the Lord God of Israel. Who truly is the Lord God? Let him answer by fire. And so they said to come up there, and look if you would at verse 21. It says this, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word." Now, when it says, "How long halt you between two opinions?" it's like this. If I were to take a step, yet I'm not finishing the step. Right now, I'm halting. My leg's up in the air. I haven't decided, am I going down the step or am I not? That's what Israel's doing right now. Okay, he says right here, how long are you in between? Decide. If you think Baal is God, then worship him. But if you truly recognize God, Jehovah, as the creator God, is the only true God, then bow down and worship him. And what was his response from his message? Nothing. I said, "Preacher, I totally identify with you. Been there, done that. You're preaching and nothing's happening." That's exactly what's going on. He's addressing the people, and there's no response whatsoever. There's coldness. There's hardness. They're not making a decision. What's going on? Look at verse 22. It says, "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. The Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. Let them choose 1 bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress another bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So they agreed, okay, let's do this. So they go ahead and the prophets, 450 strong of Baal, go ahead and get together. They begin putting on the sacrifice, and instead of lighting the fire like they normally would, they call upon Baal. They cry aloud. They begin cutting themselves with knives and lancets until the blood gushed out. They're showing their sincerity. They're showing their fervency. But yet there is no answer. Why? Because they're praying to a God they cannot save. In about 2.5 weeks, I'm going to be standing up in front of I don't know how many Hindu people saying there is one God creator, one son, Jesus Christ, God's son, who is sent to die for our sins, and he is the only true God. You can make one out of stone, you can make a God out, an idol out of wood, out of metal, but he will not answer because he is not God. And here's Elijah, and he's making fun of them, and he says, perhaps he's asleep. Maybe you need to wake him up. And he's just mocking them and making fun, and so they cry out even louder. But it went through midday and all the way through the afternoon and finally to the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was none that answered. There was no voice. There was none that regarded. So there's nothing happened. And then he says, okay, here's the plan. I want you to go fill 4 barrels full of water and pour it on the sacrifice. Okay, so what is the overall plan? If Baal answers by fire, let him be God. But if God, Jehovah, answers and sends down fire upon this burnt sacrifice, then that means he's God. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to put water on the fire. Isn't that kind of counterproductive? What's he doing? He's making this very obvious. I cannot manipulate this myself. This is not me, the prophet. This is not me, a preacher, that's doing this. Only God can start a fire at this time. So they fill 4 barrels. 4 gallons? No. 4 barrels. And they pour it in this trench that's around there. It's a trench that can contain 2 measures of seed. It's not 2 measures of seed sown. That would be several acres. But 2 measures of seed is a dry measurement. They estimate that could hold about 40 gallons of water right there in a trench, in that trench. So there could be scores and scores of gallons of water that's going to be poured on this. And so he says, fill 4 barrels full of water. And they do it. In verse 34, it says, and he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. He said, do it a third time. Do you think they got the point? By the way, he's using the most important thing in their life right now is water. What they need is water. They need the rain to come again. And he says, he's taking this water and he's doing it. He did it a third time. The water ran about around the altar and filled the trench also with water. Now, when you dig a hole in the dirt and you pour water in it, initially, what happens? It sinks. It goes down until the ground's saturated. So there's so much water. The bullock is saturated. This parched wood is all drenched and dripping wet. That trench is now so saturated, it's full of water. There is no human way possible to start a fire. Folks, that is exactly where we are right now. We can do absolutely nothing to have a national revival of God's people and his churches. We can do nothing in and of ourselves to be able to manufacture. But what does God tell us to do? You want a revival? You ask for it. You pray to God, the only one that can do it, that can do the impossible. We see that this revival prayer is, first of all, a prayer of faith. It is a prayer of faith that only God can truly do this thing. This prayer of faith, notice, in, if you will, in verse 36 and 37, it says, and it came to pass in the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, that I've done all the, and that I'm thy servant, that I've done all these things at thy word. We're going to get to that in just a moment. It's very important. Verse 37, he says, hear me, O Lord, hear me. Now watch verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that I may know that you are the Lord God. No. Elijah already knows that. He's saying, Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. This revival prayer is, first of all, a prayer of faith. A few notes, quickly, if you could jot these down under a prayer of faith. Faith has the confidence that God hears you. Faith has the confidence that God hears you. He said, you know what is the main petition? He doesn't actually say, God, send fire. Now, everyone knows that that's the point, right? That's what he's going for. What is his main petition? Verse 37, what does he say twice? Hear me. Have you ever prayed and you thought, man, I don't think God's hearing me. My prayer's hitting the ceiling and bouncing right back down. Or I've got sin in my life and God's not hearing me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What we need to do is get to this place where God is going to hear us. If you're able to, we'll turn to one important passage. Hold your place in 1 Kings. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and find, if you will, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Look at 1 John 5, verse 14. 1 John 5, 14, it says this. And this, you have it? If you have it, say amen. Amen. Okay, 1 John 5, 14, it says, and this is the, what's the next word? Confidence. We need that in our prayers. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He heareth us. He hears us if we're according to our will. Now, we're not going to go back yet because we're going to keep right here and see something else in just a second. But Elijah said, God, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, let everyone know I'm your servant and I've done all these things at thy word. This was not Elijah's plan. Folks, this was God's plan. So therefore, it was God's word. How do you know God's will? You find it in God's word. As you understand his word and enlighten upon his word, then you find his will. What is God's ultimate will? He is willing that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. It is God's will for all men to be saved. It is God's will to revive the church. It is God's will, I believe, to see not only individual churches revived, but to see great movement of revival where entire states, countries, even regions can be moved by the Spirit of God. There have been many places throughout history that have been affected by a large reviving of the Spirit of God. It is God's will. We could go after verse after verse after verse and promise after promise, but you would know generally that that is true. So when we're praying for this matter of God to work in our city, that God would work in our state, God would work in our country, or in the countries beyond. What we're doing is as a prayer of faith. This prayer of faith has a confidence that God hears us. Secondly, the prayer of faith knows that you will receive. The prayer of faith knows that you will receive. Look at verse 15, 1 John 5, verse 15. It says this, after it says, he heareth us, it says, if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. When's the last time you prayed and you knew God answered your prayer ahead of time? You knew right now God's hearing me and God's answering my prayer. I may not see it right now, but I know God, this is God's will. And I know God is going to answer this request. I may still have to keep praying. We're going to see that in just a second. But I know that this is God's will. He's hearing me and he's hearing my request. You can know ahead of time by God's word and his spirit giving you that convincement upon his word and his will that he's hearing your prayers. You need to get to that place. God can answer your prayers. We were in a revival meeting in a church of, 500-600 people. And God was working in my heart to ask for a specific number of people to be saved. And I don't normally do that. That's not a weekly thing that I would do. And it was a good number of people that would be saved. But I didn't because I was scared. I prayed privately, but we had several corporate prayer meetings for that meeting, for that revival. And each time, God was saying, ask me for that. And ask me for that number. And I would, quietly. Lord, but I wasn't praying out loud. Because I didn't want someone else to hear me. And then I had to really trust the Lord for that. And then finally I said, dear God, forgive me. Would you give me confidence in your word that this isn't just simply my desire or my fervency, but Lord, this is your truly your will. And he showed me Jeremiah 33:3 during the prayer meeting. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He showed me Ephesians 3:20. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he showed me one other verse I can't remember now. And I began praying. I said, Lord, I am convinced now upon your word that you're hearing me and that you're answering this request. And I pray for a number of souls to be saved. Well, right during that prayer meeting, the pastor stops the prayer meeting. I thought, oh, great, I really did it now. He stops it. He says, wait a minute. And we're, you know, it's just the pastoral staff right now, and we're all praying. He says, let's stop right now and recognize that God is in this and in Brother Miller's prayer. Because I was praying, and God gave me the same verse, Jeremiah 33:3, and Ephesians 3:20, and the same third verse. God gave me all three of those verses, and I was going to pray almost verbatim what Brother Miller prayed, and let's just recognize that God is giving us this request right now and trust. And I tell you, that night it started to break open. And we saw more than what I asked for to be saved. Whole families and couples coming forward in services and trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. They would have a flyer. Someone would just put it on the windshield wiper of a car just randomly. That person came and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Incredible stories of God doing amazing things that only God can do. It was a matter of knowing ahead of time and recognizing that. We've seen that time and time and time again. This faith has a confidence that God hears you. This faith knows that God, you will receive what you're asking. But this faith, thirdly, this prayer of faith, perseveres until the answer comes. This faith perseveres until the answer comes. Look back in our text in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. He does pray, and he has a very short prayer for fire. And what happens next? After the fire falls, he's going to pray for rain. Look at verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now, how many raindrops have fallen so far? He's hearing not through physical ears, but through spiritual ears of faith. He says, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel to cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And they went up and looked, and it says, there's nothing. You see, what he was going to go see if there's a cloud, see if there's a storm front coming in, go see if God's answering our prayer. And he says, there's nothing there. So he prayed some more, sent him a second time. Prayed some more, sent him a third time. Look in verse 43, it says, and he said, go again seven times. Now wait a minute, folks. He prayed about a 63-word prayer for fire one time, and it fell. Was it God's will? Yes. Is it God's will for him to pray for rain again? It is. But why didn't God give it the first time? I don't know completely. And we don't. Why is it in Luke chapter 11 when the man is knocking on the door of his neighbor, says, come on, give me the bread. I have a friend that's coming on a journey. I need to give him some bread. Come on, would you answer? Would you answer? And he keeps, and the neighbor, he's not going to give him the bread because of he's a friend. He's going to give it because of his importunity. That means his shamelessness. He just keeps coming, and he keeps coming. This guy won't leave me alone until I give him the bread. And so I'm just going to give him the bread to get rid of him. And then it says, you that are earthly fathers, how much would you give good gifts to your children? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That is speaking of the Holy Spirit's power. His help, his enabling in our lives. Why would God say to ask and keep asking? If it's God's will for people to be saved, if it's God's will for revival to take place, why would he say keep asking? Why would he say, no, not yet, but keep asking? Second time? Third time? How many prayer meetings, Pastor Lubin, have we met even right here with pastors on Monday morning like we'll do tomorrow? Keep praying. Praying for revival, praying for the churches here, praying for more churches to be started, praying for souls to be saved. Maybe God's making us continue to pray because it reveals our faith or our lack of faith. Can I share openly something that God showed me? So I haven't been praying like I ought to for worldwide revival and souls. And I'm an evangelist. I dare say there's probably some other Christians out here tonight that are in the same boat. Now, I think I'm accountable a little bit more than you are because of what perhaps I've been exposed to and the emphasis and the ministry that I'm called to and the leadership position. But if I'm not praying always like I ought to, then maybe there's some others here. You stop praying. And it really reveals our lack of faith. Our lack of faith. When does a child stop asking for the ice cream or the candy? Either when he gets it, or he says, it's not going to do any good to ask. Look, your Heavenly Father's a good Heavenly Father. He's not holding back because he's mean. He's not holding back because there's some other cruel thing that he has planned. Maybe, just maybe, we keep asking and keep asking, and God hasn't answered yet for the revival and for the outpouring of souls that need to be saved yet. And that power that we're asking for, maybe it's because you and I aren't ready. Too full of self. Too much sin. Too much worldliness we let creep in through media. Other stuff just flooding right into our homes, or our own heart or mind. Too much selfish ambition. Maybe it's not him that's the problem. It's really us. How many of us have consistently even been praying for souls and praying for revival like we ought? Would you say, dear God, help me to have this revival prayer, which is a prayer of faith. Lord, help me to know that you hear me and have that confidence. And Lord, if you hear me, this is your word, this is your will, that I'm going to know that you're going to answer me. And then I'm not going to give up until you answer. You may not answer how I think would be best, but Lord, you answer the best way. But Lord, I know that this person needs to be saved, or this church needs to grow. We need more churches throughout all the boroughs. We need to have revival take place. Would you pray for these things, knowing that it is God's will, basing it upon His word, not simply your own desire, faith that's founded upon His word, and say, Lord, I know that you're going to hear me. I know that you're going to answer me because you're hearing me. And Lord, I'm going to keep praying and keep asking until you do so. Will you continue to pray? I pray that you will, even tonight. Let's ask the Lord to help us right now. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help us to pray and to pray for revival and pray for souls, even right now. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, you say, Brother Miller, I've got to be honest. I don't have the prayer of faith that I ought to have. My prayer life is not one of believing, or my prayer life is not what it ought to be, or I have not even been asking for revival or for souls to be saved. God has spoken to me tonight either about my lack of faith, my lack of asking, or just simply another lack in my life. Maybe God's not answering me yet because I'm not ready to receive His power to be able to truly be a part of what He wants to do in this revival and souls being saved. If God's spoken to you, would you slip your hand up throughout the room? God's spoken to you. God bless you. And you and several hands. God bless you. You can place your hands down. Anyone else? Let me ask it again. If you raised your hand already, you don't have to raise it again. But who else would hear it would say, Brother Miller, God has spoken to me. My prayer life is not what it ought to be. And I see if we're going to have revival, we need to ask for it. If we're going to see more churches started and planted and continued, if we're going to see souls saved, we're going to have to ask for it. And God's spoken to me about my prayer life tonight. Anyone else who didn't raise their hand the first time but would like to now, God's spoken to me. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Wonderful. Anyone else? Just quickly. Would you in just a moment ask the Lord to do exactly that, that God would send a reviving, God would help souls to be saved? Would you look this way? Can I give some direction right now in the invitation? You can look this way. In just a moment, I'm going to ask us to come and to find a place to pray. But would you pray specifically for three things? First of all, let's pray for Myanmar. Can we do that? Amen. Okay, so we've heard about it. We know a little bit what's going on. Pray for Brother DeWitt in Myanmar tonight. Secondly, would you pray for India for myself and my son and our crusade that's coming up in 2.5 weeks? Number three, would you pray for New York City? Would you pray even this week that we would see souls saved in the subway system? And then as well, in 2021, there is the Not Forgotten Memorial Summit. And I'm going to encourage you, would you even think about praying for that? Now, I didn't say a lot about it, but it's going to be a time we're going to get together for evangelistic services where several churches will come together and have the gospel be preached. Would you pray for souls to be saved with this? And I have some cards that are up here, just a few of them, but if you'd like to have one of these to remind you to pray for this as well, and it gives you some specific things to pray for in preparation. So three areas tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to ask, would you come and ask the Lord to pray in this invitation and pray for Myanmar, for India, and for New York City? And when you're praying this, don't exclude yourself, but ask God to help you to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Would you do that? Everyone standing, let's stand for prayer. In fact, let's just stand in just a moment. And when he begins to play, I'm going to ask this. Would you find a place to pray for these three areas? Would you step out and come? Just even right now.